Now, yesterday it was International Day of Persons with Disabilities, Wednesday the 3rd of December. And disability advocate Sinead Lucy Brennan is calling for invisible disabilities to be recognised in national policy discussions. Sinead is Ireland Director of Hidden Disabilities Sunflower in Ireland and is with me on the line. Sinead, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gerry.
Tell me, what is a hidden disability?
So an invisible or hidden disability is any form of physical, mental, cognitive or neurological or intellectual disability that's not immediately apparent or obvious to the human eye. And I suppose when we think of invisible disabilities, sometimes we think about people like myself who have that living experience where the person may look or sound or walk in an apparently perfect or, you know, normal way. But I suppose we do see a significant number of people who have physical disabilities, maybe in the early stages of MS, to give you an example, as well as, you know, some significant spinal injuries, whereby by the time the person with the disability gets to use a mobility aid or a wheelchair, that they've already endured a lifetime of abuse for maybe needing to rely on supports that exist currently today. And I'd give the example of a parent and toddler car parking space, which, you know, as a parent, I would know that, yes, sometimes, you know, we do see those not being used for the purpose that they're designed. But sometimes that could be somebody with an invisible disability who is struggling to get to a supermarket, who may be living with chronic fatigue, who may be living with chronic pain. And yeah, that's what an invisible disability is.
In your own experience, you had a vascular necrosis and it caused a stroke. Now, you've made a fairly good recovery, but you said that when you left hospital, there was nothing for you. You felt like you were thrown to the wolves. What happened?
Yeah, so what I had, and I know what you're saying there, I had an AVM as opposed to an AVN. So it's an arteriovenous malformation, but essentially it's like a tangle of vessels and arteries in the brain. And basically there should be a kind of a nexus point between them, but in my case it was an abnormality that it's not there, and basically the pressure caused me to have a hemorrhagic stroke. And when it happened to me, I went to a gym and I was feeling a little bit off, and I didn't come home from the gym for 3 weeks. I ended up in ICU in Beaumont Hospital in Dublin, and, you know, had a very, as you say, very good recovery. But with that being said, once you leave the hospital setting, the acute setting, where, you know, you've access to experts, you've access to knowledge, you've access to medication, once you leave that kind of bubble, if you will, and you're back out into the community setting, in my case, there was nothing for me at that point in time. Now, I had been working with the Neurological Alliance of Ireland a number of years back in relation to promoting community neuro rehabilitation teams, and I'm really pleased to say that in Cork and Kerry these are now beginning to come to fruition, whereby if somebody does leave a hospital, you know, Cork and Beaumont are the two centres of excellence for neurological conditions and neurological surgery. And so in that setting, it's great that now the local community teams are on the ground in Cork and Kerry. You know, there's still work to be done, of course, to get the right specialists in place. But with that being said, it is very much a step in the right direction. So I'm really pleased to see that.
Yeah, and employers have a role to play here. You went back to work, but you suffer fatigue. You've got other issues to do with what happened to you. And you had to work with your HR department to kind of recognise that, I suppose.
I did at the time, because, you know, there wasn't a lot of information out there, and there kind of still isn't about fatigue. And, you know, there's a huge social impact of fatigue on your social life, but also there's a huge impact to your day-to-day activity. You know, people often question, is it a disability? It absolutely is. It is so destabilizing and disabling, you know, particularly when you're in the midst.
People just think you're being lazy, Sinead. Is that part of the problem?
Sometimes it, you know, if it's not managed properly and if you're not communicating it properly, it can come across that way. But it's not laziness at all. It's very much it does significantly impact sometimes your physical function. In my case, sometimes my motor function. It can get in the way of, you know, thinking, planning, paying attention to things, concentrating on what people are saying, concentrating on a TV and a book. You know, I've recovered sufficiently to the point that, you know, I've been able to get back some enjoyment of reading. Sometimes following telly, I use subtitles all the time to kind of fix my attention on the TV if I'm watching it, even sports matches. But no, it's not a laziness thing at all. It's very much, you know, you're trying to manage the ins and outs of it. But yeah. I suppose fatigue is just not very well understood.
No.
And in a work context. In a work context, there's a lot of, you know, having to accept that you now have a new work identity, that there are certain things you can't do anymore, maybe physically, like, you know, staying that little bit later and so on, but that I would have potentially done. You know, I was somebody who was quite ambitious career-wise. Now, I did continue to be promoted and stuff at work, but that was very much working with my HR department, getting the supports in place. And a lot of the time, accessibility and making those reasonable accommodations, and I stress reasonable because it can't be at an enormous cost to an employer, but there are things that can be done that are not expensive and that can be facilitated with a bit of, you know, creativity, thinking a bit differently about things, and just that ongoing conversation. And it's just all about how you communicate it, really.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're also communicating with the government on behalf of Hidden Disabilities Sunflower in Ireland. You're looking for them to bring in recognition of invisible, is it not there at the moment, or not there sufficiently?
It's not there sufficiently. I mean, disability is talked about a lot, and, you know, the National Human Rights Strategy for Disabled People was published this year. But I attended the launch, and it's just interesting when you look at some of the graphics that were put out there and some of the information's put out there. It is incredibly disenfranchising for somebody who has an invisible disability. And I suppose in my capacity, I sit on the board of the Disability Federation of Ireland, and it's through that that we are calling on the government to introduce the cost of disability payment, because for a disabled person to have to, you know, pay for life, you know, there's additional costs such as extra medications, heat, access to fuel, transport, you know, taxis and so on. It's between the level of 10 and 15,000 euros every year extra that a disabled person has to contend with. And so that's where that cost of disability payment comes in. But then with my role as leading the Hidden Disabilities Sunflower on the island of Ireland, we have a visual aid that was initially rolled out in London Gatwick in 2016 and has continued to be very successful. We work with airports, we work with hotels, we work with everybody from corporates to small businesses to charities who want to be able to provide their clients, guests, service users with a visual aid that will, you know, unify the invisibly disabled community and indicate exactly.
That's the sunflower emblem.
It is the sunflower emblem.
It indicates a hidden disability.
Yeah, and, you know, to be very fair, the hospice foundations in Ireland have used a sunflower for, you know, decades. And, you know, we're not certainly getting in the way of that. We have a sunflower on a green background. We have a lanyard. We have a pin. We have a wristband. And all it is doing, it's totally optional to wear it. We're signifying that that person just needs a bit of extra time, patience and support. It has been absolutely transformational for myself personally, but also in airports, in hospitality settings, just when I'm out and about in the community. So it has been a fantastic initiative. And I would, you know, welcome anybody in Kerry who would love to work with us.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, look, Sinead, thanks very much for telling us your story and telling us about that. Make everyone more aware of it. That's Sinead Lucy Brennan from Cantorque, Ireland Director of Hidden Disabilities Sunflower on the island. And thanks for talking to me this morning.
Thank you very much.